It's 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Anthony Moreno. Welcome to KRWG's Singles Confidential. It is brought to you by Pioneer Bank, a Las Cruces community bank, serving the financial needs of southeastern New Mexico and West Texas since 1901 with accounts, investments, and lending products. Information at pioneerbank.com. It's the Singles Confidential. Now, to kick things off, I want to let you know really what got us interested in doing a show like this. Well, in 2018, the personal finance website WalletHub ranked New Mexico 44th in the country when it comes to ranking the best states for singles. What got my attention was that our state ranked so low while placing third in the country for highest share of single adults and also highest gender balance of singles. So why does our state rank so low? And what can we do today to maybe help improve lives for single people in our area? Well, we have a panel of experts in studio to help you out and take your calls. We have Dr. Robert Del Campo. He is a marriage and family therapist, counselor here in Las Cruces. And he's also celebrating his 7th anniversary of retiring from New Mexico State University today. Thank you very much for joining us in studio.
It's good to be back.
Now, we also have Dr. Karim Martinez. She is a family life and child development specialist with NMSU. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And also want to thank you for all the work. Karim really helped us out in preparing for this program with a lot of data and resources. Rosa Lopez drove all the way down from Santa Fe to help us. She is a health data disseminator coordinator with the New Mexico Department of Health. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
So I sort of work as a go-between the content experts and the community, different strategies for getting data out to our stakeholders and to encourage database decision-making.
Okay. That is a very interesting job that you have there, and we're really glad that you're here in studio with us to help us out here on Voice of the Public. So let's kick things off by just talking about definitions of being single. As you know, what is the definition of being single? I kind of want to run this to you, Karim. You know, as far as definitions go, what defines a single person?
Well, it depends on when I looked at statistics. When you look up marriage and who's single, single just means that you haven't been married, and that doesn't really clarify the actual reality of what people are experiencing. So, for example, you may be single, maybe you've never been married, but you may be in a committed relationship. And then that may mean that you're living with the person, or it may mean that you're not. So there's just a variety of different things. So when you talk about single, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not in a relationship. So I think probably for this talk show, we're probably going to be focusing more on maybe single that are not in a relationship. So that's maybe how we're going to be defining single.
Now, one of the things about being single that I think a lot of people may be aware of is that there are some sort of pressures from society that may face single people. We're in a month where people celebrate Valentine's Day and being together with their loved one or partner. It's kind of become a billion-dollar industry of some sorts. So, you know, one thing I think we need to let people know is that if they are single, they're not alone, according to the statistics.
Right. So it was really interesting when I started doing research for this topic. So again, the landscape of relationships is changing in the U.S. And so, for example, one thing that's changing is the age at which people are getting married. So if you do decide to get married, people are tending to wait longer. So, for example, in 2017, the median age of first marriage for men was 29.5 years. And for women was 27.4 years. And so to give you a little bit of context, in 1960, it was 20 years old for women and 22 for men. So that shows you that people are delaying marriage now. And then there are a lot of people who are deciding not to get married. So, I mean, they may be living with somebody, or maybe they choose just not to get married. So, for example, there's 1 in 5 Americans 25 years of age and older who are never married, whereas in 1960, it was only 9%. So we went from 20% now versus only 9% in 1960. So that shows that there's a lot of people who are now either deciding never to get married or maybe delaying marriage. And then people are choosing to live together instead of getting married. So, for example, just to let you know that there are a lot of people who are deciding to live together. So in 2016, there's 18 million adults who are in cohabiting relationships. And in 2007, there were only 14 million. So you can see that there's this trend towards living together. And what I also found was really interesting that there's a growing number of unpartnered adults. So that means that you're living without a spouse or partner. So that's actually growing between younger adults. And so one in six adults, which is about 61%, right now are living unpartnered, and that's up from 56% just 10 years ago. So there's a growing number of people who are not in what we would typically think of as, you know, you get to a certain age and you're going to get married, and that's changing.
Yeah. Now, if that describes you, we would like to hear from you. What are some of the challenges you are facing being a single person here in New Mexico? I want to give you the number to call. It is 575-646-2212. That is 646-2212. You can also like our Facebook page. We have this streaming live right now. You can join in the conversation on social media. Our host on the social media desk, Robert Palacios, is there and is waiting to hear your questions. I do want to let you know that everybody who participates in this conversation during the Singles Confidential will be entered into a drawing for dinner and movie for two at Launchpad Cafe at Cineport 10 in Las Cruces. That is courtesy of Allen Theaters. We have two of those prize packs to give away in our drawing. When you contribute to the Singles Confidential, once again, the number is 646-2212. Now, let's talk about just being single and happy. Now, I know, what are some of the things that we can do as single people to really achieve those things? Dr. Del Campo, you want to join in?
Well, you know, I think the first thing you need to consider is the concept of autonomy. People are happiest when they feel or believe, at least, and it could just be an irrational belief, that they have control over their lives. I can't tell you how many people who have uncoupled, who've gotten divorced, and then they're working with me in little post-divorce adjustment things. They'll say, Dr. Del Campo, you can't believe how wonderful it is to know that I can take my ashtray or candy dish and keep it in the middle of the coffee table, and it's going to be there until I decide to move it again. That's very satisfying to people, to have control of their life and not have to worry about, am I going to accommodate my spouse or my committed relationship person or that type of thing. So I think autonomy is very key to happiness.
Now, you brought up something there that I'd like to kind of talk about. You mentioned divorce, or perhaps no longer being with your spouse or partner or co-parent. What are some of the things that people should consider when they feel it is time to move on and maybe start to move on to meeting somebody else or getting themselves out there?
What should they consider?
Yeah.
Well, there's psychological considerations and there's practical. On the practical side, I think you need to consider the financial implications. It's very hard to nowadays to live on two earner families and have one household, but if you're going to split and get a separation or a divorce, suddenly there's two utility payments to make, there's two mortgage payments to make, there's two, everything split in half. So financial stuff is paramount. Second thing is getting used to the loneliness, the insecurity of not having another warm body in the house, for safety reasons, you know. And quite often I'll tell people to put, especially women, put timers. Maybe that sounds sexist, I apologize if it does, but to put timers in the house so they never walk into a dark house. They'll come into their apartment or their new home that they'll buy, and it's lit when they get home from work, rather than coming into a dark place and being alone. You know, they have to get used to that kind of thing.
Now, what are some of the other things that, you know, we should consider as single people, you know, not only to find happiness, but embarking on meeting other people? And it doesn't have to be something that is, you know, a relationship with somebody That may be romantic, a romantic relationship. It can just be meeting people. What are some of the things, Rosa, that we can do as single people to really, you know, get out there and just meet people?
So something that was very different when I moved to Santa Fe from Las Cruces is that there are always things going on. My neighborhood also has different types of couples than I would say. So my neighborhood in Las Cruces was primarily heterosexual couples, children, some with younger children and some with children who are already out of the house. But it was just very much, you know, couples staying at home. Maybe they have their couple friends, whereas in Santa Fe, there are activities. There are music activities. Here in Las Cruces, there are a lot of outdoor activities and adventure groups. So that's, you know, something for me, it's getting out and doing things that you enjoy. Because if that other person is also doing those activities you enjoy, that would be a way that you create your network of who you might want to do activities with. You might meet someone, you might not. But you're either way, you're doing something that you enjoy.
Okay, now you are listening to the Singles Confidential here on KRWG Public Media. Do you have a question for our panel in studio about being single and finding happiness and leading a healthy single lifestyle? Do you have questions about perhaps how to go about meeting the right people in your life? Well, you can call this number and ask your questions, 646-2212. You can also dial 575-646-2212 or like our Facebook page, join in the conversation there. One of the things, you mentioned some things there, Rosa, that I think is really interesting because you just can find some things that you like and you're probably going to meet other like-minded people while you do that, whether it's going hiking or biking or to movies or dinner clubs and checking out concerts. Any other things that, you know, people should consider should they be like in your position moving from Las Cruces to Santa Fe or a new city?
Whether you're in Las Cruces or Santa Fe, every once in a while, I like to call you play tourist in your own city. And it happens more when you have out-of-town guests, right? And you're like, okay, you're going to show them around. But it is actually really fun to do it, even when it's a place that you live. You know, so Las Cruces, I don't know if they still do it. The first Friday of the month, they used to do the art walk.
The downtown ramble.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Which is today. And
so today, you know, when's the, you know, museum day? I actually made a new friend through a pottery class. And they have that here too, actually, in Las Cruces. So I think that you don't always have to be partnered up to go do something. It can be cheaper, right? Two tickets are always going to be less than buying, you know, two individual tickets versus getting one as a couple. But doing things that you enjoy to get out there, and that person might know someone that you would get along with. But now, either way, you're out.
Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, to expand upon what you're saying, Rosa, I tell people to, yes, do things you enjoy, but to try something different. I even had a gentleman one time, he had lost his wife to cancer, and he was in his early, about 51, 52 years old, and he listens to public radio. I said, why don't you volunteer to answer the phones during the pledge drive? Mm-hmm. He said, I never thought of that. I said, just do something different. Don't get it. You know, his rut was go to gym in the morning, come home, you know, go to work, you know, come home at night, throw something in the microwave, and just try something different. Don't be an old book on the top shelf of the Brannigan Library collecting dust. Circulate.
I hear the senior center is quite happening.
The senior center.
Apparently it's quite, you know.
They do have a lot of dances there and a lot of events. So, I mean, there's plenty of opportunities there. Now, one thing I think that we kind of talked about there to go back over is that many people may be struggling to just find things to do as a single person in Las Cruces, Santa Fe, Albuquerque, or any place here in New Mexico. We would like to hear from you. Are you struggling to find something to do? Do you think that the city is lacking something in providing outlets for you to meet people? What are the challenges that you're finding here as a single person? Well, you can call this number and ask your question, 646-2212. You can also go to our Facebook page and like us there. We do have somebody on the line right now. We have Emma, who wants to talk about health benefits of being single. Emma, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Emma, what is your question?
My question is exactly what you said. I feel like when you're young, the advice is like, yeah, you can be single, focus on work and school. But I feel like as you get older, that advice starts to wane and people expect you to be coupled. And I was wondering if it's healthy to just stay single indefinitely or to plan to be single indefinitely.
Who would like to take this call? Karim?
Well, so I think that it really is an individual choice. So there is a lot of pressure, especially as you get older. I think especially for women, if that identity is tied to, you know, what your milestones are. But it's an individual choice. And so what's more important, I think, is to just have a variety of different healthy relationships. So you do want to have a social network. Do activities that you enjoy. So it's not just about being in that romantic relationship. It really is about who are the people around you that you care about, who are, you can build those networks at work, at school, with people in your community. And, I mean, there is research that shows that having those healthy relationships or social networks do benefit you because it helps with stress, it helps with just enjoying life. And so that's I would say that you don't have to have one specific thing. And the other point that I wanted to make is that what's the most challenging is having those expectations, either people putting those expectations on you or you having those expectations of yourself that you have to have this certain life at whatever age. You might have these ideas, and if you have those expectations, then you're not going to be happy. And so what it's important to do is to think about, I don't want those expectations. Really what I want to do is enjoy the life that I have. I'm going to find things to be grateful for in my life. Maybe it's serving others, maybe it's having hobbies. It's whatever you decide.
And just to tag on to it, there are some research projects that have shown that men actually live longer when they're in a committed relationship rather than when they're single in terms of health benefits.
But not women.
But not women, exactly. It's
wow.
Very true, Rosa. Yeah, just,
women in relationships, you know, and it's not going to apply to everyone, tend to actually take on more responsibilities even if that relationship is not marriage. So men get to do less laundry, women do more, sort of things. That the division of responsibilities in a household, in a home, that burden tends to fall more on women. Yep. I think when you are single, it is a great time to figure out who you are and what you want so that whether someone comes along or not, you know what you want.
Okay. Now, we want to let you know that you can call in and ask a question. The number to call is 646-2212. Once again, that is 646-2212 to ask a question about how to live a single and healthy and happy lifestyle. And you can ask that question to our panel. We do have a caller, Jay, who has a question about middle-aged singles activities. Jay, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Jay, what's your question?
Well, I'm a little young. I'm in my 40s. I'm not quite ready to go to the Senior Citizen Center. I'm sure it's great.
Rosa said that.
My mom goes. She loves it.
You know why? I'm going to get there eventually. But before I get there, and I don't want to go to the bars that are near the university, I just wonder what suggestions you guys might have for somebody that's, you know, kind of in the middle.
I would say here in Las Cruces, I think the hiking group and the adventure, if you like outdoor activities, camping, hiking, skiing, snowboarding, those types of activities, I think that those are great. There is some movie club, but I'm not sure.
Like a movie watcher club
you go
or
to,
something?
Yeah, they meet a couple, it's mm-hmm. a couple weekends a month, and they go to a movie, and then there's like some dining, and they probably... Those are people more approaching 50.
Okay.
And but they're probably meetup groups. So, I mean, online, you can find some different meetup groups. And so for different communities, that's an easy way to see what are some activities that people are doing.
Okay. Do you have any further questions, Jay? Any challenges?
No, I just was going to say that hopefully that girl that called in before won't stay single forever. I don't think that's the... Hopefully that's not the point.
Okay, Jay. Well, thanks for your question. We appreciate it. The number to call to ask your question about being single is 646-2212, 646-2212. We might turn this into the matchmaking confidential by the end of the day,
Some churches have singles groups.
Yeah, there's another option right there. Now, we do have a question on our social media desk. If you have a chance, give us a like on Facebook. You can join in the conversation. We are streaming the conversation on our social media desk where Robert Palacios is at. Robert, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us. What is the question?
So we got a couple of questions already. The first one, what are some tips for approaching someone you want to get to know without being creepy?
Ooh. Without being creepy, how do you approach somebody?
Hi, my name is X. So, I just wanted to introduce myself.
Well, I think genuineness is important. You know, if we're talking about people who have maybe been divorced or delayed getting involved in a committed relationship, I think just to be genuine, mature people appreciate genuineness. It's not, hey, baby, you know, where you been my whole life? I mean, yeah, when you were 16, maybe that worked, but not when you're 46, you know.
Okay, now you had another question, Robert?
Yes. How do you know when you're being too picky when choosing to get into a committed relationship? This person's heard that you need to work on yourself so you can attract the type of person you want to meet.
Okay. Any questions or answers with that?
Boy, I'm working with a couple of people right now who I think are too picky. They were in very bad marriages, and they had a couple of kids, and their kids are now middle school, high school, and they're saying, I'm never making that mistake again. And they've got this, we all have this ideal mate in our head who we want, this checklist of things, but I think for the typical person, if you hit maybe three quarters of the check marks, you'd commit, but there are some people who want 99%. You know, if I don't get everything here, I'm backing off.
So I think that kind of touches on another thing, is that our experiences that we've had in the past may impact us approaching the future to look for somebody or developing any sort of relationship. Any thoughts on that?
I don't have a checklist. I have, you know, most of my life been accused of being too picky. But the reality is that as, you know, getting older and through relationships, I realized there wasn't really a long checklist, but there were certain things that were non-negotiable. In my last relationship, it was that they were divorced and they decided they didn't want to get married again, and that's important to me. So it was kind of, so I think that person has to think of what are they looking for to see if they think it's too picky. They're the ones who have to be single or with that person. So it's really, I think, an individual choice.
Right, and I think it's identifying what those deal breakers are versus what are things that you can live with. Because most of the issues in couple relationships, they're going to be perpetual issues. So there's going to be things that are ongoing, especially if there's maybe
some... in the sink.
Right. I mean, so I think you just have to determine what are your personal deal breakers. And what can you work out?
Okay.
And what can you live with?
There's a classic theory. It's been in our literature for decades. It's called the ideal mate theory. I know it's not like I'm lecturing here now, right? But you can Google that, and it'll tell you about different things, either very specific things, like this person would absolutely have to be a non-smoker, or this person has to have an appreciation of nature, or anything in between. And it talks about how some people are very, very picky with... We really do, Rosa, have checklists. We just sometimes don't realize it, but we do. And if you read that, Google it, ideal mate theory, and you'll see. You can read all about that.
If you are just tuning in, this is KRWG Singles Confidential. It is brought to you by Pioneer Bank. The number to call to ask a question is 646-2212. Are you having any challenges being single in New Mexico? Well, we want to hear from you. What are those challenges? Are you a single parent? Are you considering online dating? Perhaps we can help answer your questions today. Now, that last part I brought up, online dating has grown recently, obviously with mobile apps making a difference in our society. I'd like to move on and start talking about that as single people look to perhaps meet people online, whether it's for romantic relationships or just friendships. Online dating and mobile apps like Tinder, Match, and Bumble have made it really easy and quick to meet people. So what are some of the things that people should consider when they are thinking about online dating or, you know, online meeting up with different people? So let's just start with the risks. How about that? Would that be all right to start with? What are some of the risks to consider?
Well, I think you do have to be very careful about what kind of information you're sharing online. So, you don't want to share too much personal information right off the bat. And you also want to be very cautious about if you're deciding to meet the person, if you're going to disclose where you live. So there's just some basics of safety that you have to take into account. Don't disclose financial information. There's, you know, some things that you
have
to be careful about.
Some friends and I who have tried it. Okay. One of the things we would do is that we would take a picture, like we'd meet in a public place, but we would take a picture of a license plate, send it to the other person. We would say, I'm going to check in at this time. So, you know, if I haven't checked in, we would, you know, do this. And that was just, you know, and we'd give information of this is, you know, this is who I'm meeting and this is what, you know, their profile is. Send them as much as you can just to, I don't know if men do this, but that's what my female friends and I did. You know, you want someone
smart.
To know
yeah.
where you are
sure.
and have your, you know, rescue plan.
Okay. Now
a lot of scam artists out there too, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client a couple of years ago. She would, and people look too hard sometimes. I think the overarching message I'd like people to get out is stop looking. It'll happen. Just circulate and just have fun. And don't, oh, I got to find a mate, I got to find a mate, I got to find a mate, I got to find a partner. Just have fun. It'll happen. But the scam artists, a good clinical example, very, very lovely woman in town here, very much intent on finding a partner, went online. She found this purported officer in the army who was stationed in Afghanistan who was... just happened to be his home base was Fort Bliss, you know, how ironic, right? And within about 3 months, he was saying, oh, you know, I wonder, I need some money. I'm starting an orphanage for children here and this kind of thing. And she sent teddy bears. And he said, no, the money, it's better to send money. And it was a big scam. She finally figured it out and she checked the guy out. Be careful of those things, you know.
And some experiences aren't necessarily as dramatic, but the reason I don't do it is that the time. I spend a lot of my day on the computer and you feel like you're checking in at a job. And people are not very honest on their resume. You know, it's like some people read, this is what women are looking for. Like, I love to hike, love to travel. And then they don't, you know, you say, well, let's go for a hike. And they're not interested in doing that. So, I mean, it's a lot of, I think there are a lot of numbers, like there might be a lot of people on there. But it doesn't mean you're going to meet that type of person that you're looking for.
Right. And it was interesting. I actually found some information where only 5% of people who got married or were in a committed relationship said they found their partner online. So, I mean, it might be changing because there are more people online, but the majority of people found their partner through friends or through in-person meetings. So I thought that was very interesting that even now you're going to find your partner.
And I have a male friend who's new to the area, works where I work, and the way he uses it is really just to, hey, we're getting a group together to go to a game, so it's different. Mm-hmm. than what people might think of is why people would use these online. I think he uses Bumble. And so I was just like, oh, you know, that's kind of neat. He's meeting people because he's new to the area.
So, yeah, there's many different ways you can meet people online. There are some resources you can check out. You can check out the Online Dating Association online. And there's also a website if you need to get some advice, getsafeonline.org. Maybe a good resource for you to check out before you embark on online dating. Now, we do have a call. We have Cynthia on the line who has a question about dancing for singles. Cynthia, can you kind of Explain your question that you had for our panel.
Okay, well, I actually don't have a question. It's more of an observation that perhaps people aren't aware of. Las Cruces has a really rich dance scene for people who want to learn, like, Latin dances, ballroom dances, tango dances. And everybody in Las Cruces is super nice. The group is super cool. NMSU offers free dance lessons on Tuesday nights. So it's a great place, especially, you know, if you're not, like, real comfortable dancing, or you always wanted to but were kind of afraid to dance or go out to a club. These free dance lessons are great because they get you comfortable with dance. There is the USA dance chapter in New Mexico, and they're doing a get-together this Sunday from 2 to 5. And then Las Cruces has a new ballroom studio that just opened up. So one of the things that people don't think about is dancing, and they think they have to be a dancer or they have to have some kind of background in it. And it's absolutely not the case. And I think if people knew it, that's a great way to meet people and have friends and just get together in, like, a very safe space without necessarily that pressure of clubbing or dating. The dance scene in Las Cruces is really a great way to start, you know, entering into, you know, just getting out of your shell, getting away from the computer, because you don't really connect with the computer, you know, and dancing helps you connect with other people. So I just think, you know, dancing in Las Cruces is growing, and that's something that maybe singles might be interested in exploring.
Okay, Cynthia, do you have, like, an online resource or something where people can look that up, that information?
I'm on my phone, so let me
see. Well, don't worry. You can call back and give us the information, and our engineers will let me know, and we could give that out by the end of the show. Thank you so much for that advice, Cynthia. We appreciate you calling.
You know, and Anthony, to tag onto that, I've observed some of the dance majors here on campus going out. Used to be Court Junior High School, Court Recreational Center downtown. They go out there and they're very, very patient with people and affable with the people who want to learn. And I think Cynthia's right on. That's a great idea to do something like that. Yeah, and those kids do a great job.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Now, yeah. You know, we were talking about online dating. One thing I don't think we really touched on that some people may not think about is online dating for older people. Maybe we associate that for people, you know, who are younger, but older people actually are getting more engaged with online dating. Karim, you sent me some information prior to the show about an AARP article that cited a 2018 poll from Morning Consult, the tech research company, that found that 1 in 5 internet users ages 55 to 64 say they've used a dating app or service. That's according to that poll. So navigating the world online after 50, how can folks, you know, what are some of the things they need to consider as far as educating themselves on that?
Right. So it's the same things about safety, but, you know, in terms of not giving out personal information, not giving out that financial information. But what I found interesting is that for older adults, there is this increase not only in online dating, but the need to date in general. So you're seeing an increase in divorce after 50, 55. So that you're seeing this trend. It's called the gray divorce. And so I think as older adults are being single, you're going to see a lot more activity. So that's why AARP, I think they're addressing that, because there are going to be more singles online. That's probably why, you know, Rosa mentioned the senior centers are happening places, because There does
they're very
need to,
dramatic too there.
There just needs to be more activities. And so I think with the baby boomers, you are going to see a lot more dating at that age.
And it's not just divorce. I mean, people lose their partners
through death, separation.
And, you know, there are different
Let's talk about that a little bit. So say your spouse or partner does happen to die. What do you have any suggestions, Dr. Del Campo, about for folks on how to move forward in a healthy way?
Absolutely. One of the number one challenges to the mental health professions today is the concept of depression in the elderly. And the thing that is most likely to precipitate depression is a shrinking social network, whether you're in a committed relationship or not. I mean, think about it. If you live to be 80, you're going to lose some friends who aren't going to make it to 80. And I always encourage people who, in my practice, to have friends. It's easy to have friends about your same age, but I say, you know, New Year's resolution, make two friends this year who are 10 years younger than you. And older people, we typically have friends our age and older, but to make younger friends, and that is a great insulator to combat depression as you age, because our social circle shrinks.
Right, so it doesn't necessarily have to be dating. It can just be
right,
a social
exactly,
circle.
Exactly.
So it's that, again, it's those social networks that are the most important.
And if you're talking about 70, 80, even 90-year-olds, today people are living longer and longer. I think the issue of dating and being in a committed relationship doesn't have the importance it might at 40 and 50 years old, perhaps. But to be socially accessible and to be out there doing things, enjoying life, not just sitting in front of your television 24/7.
If you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to KRWG's Singles Confidential. It is brought to you by Pioneer Bank. You can call this number and ask a question at 646-2212. You can also join our Facebook page where we have this conversation streaming live by liking the KRWG Public Media Facebook page, where Robert Palacios is right now. Robert, we do have somebody who is commenting about being single. What are some of the issues with that?
Yeah, one of the questions asked was how important it is to work on yourself. But a follow-up on this is, how important is improving yourself in order to be prepared to meet someone?
Okay, so getting out of your comfort zone. Any thoughts on that?
As a person who gets into relationships, I really prefer if that is a person who has worked on themselves somewhat. You know, it's nice when we've made our mistakes or our bigger mistakes already on somebody else. But I also think you can be a happier person and you might know yourself more. So maybe you're better at communicating or expressing what are your deal breakers or what you might want. I mean, what I would have accepted at 18 is very different from what I would expect now. Yeah. I mean, it's just different, right?
Sure.
I'm just like...
Okay. Now, we just have, you know, this really flies by. Only about 20 minutes left for this program, a little under that. But I do want to talk about an important topic that many people in New Mexico face. Now, we mentioned at the early part of the program just how many single people there are. There's a number of single people in New Mexico, obviously, and a number of them are parents. So let's talk about being a single parent and dating. Do you have any thoughts on really when is the right time to start dating, perhaps, after you, as a parent? Is there anything that you need to know or should consider? Or, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of folks who probably think that they should just wait for their children to be grown before they even embark on dating.
My niece, so I'm not a parent. My brother's in the Army, and when he was off at Iraq, his daughter lived with me. And I will be perfectly honest, so that was just a year. It was so busy. And I limited how many activities she could commit to. So, you know, I can't even imagine how people do it and find the time. And she was one child. You know, sometimes people have, you know, more than one child, and then you have to balance someone else's schedule. So I don't know. I don't have advice to give there, only that obviously
that
it takes some work. Yeah.
Okay.
What I've observed, Anthony, is that in my practice, people who are recently divorced and looking for the next partner, if you will, next committed relationship, they generally date the person on the every other weekend when they don't have their kids. That's typically the MO. I say to people, and there's a... This is literally a technique in family therapy called the go slowly technique. Go slow. Slow down. You know, the last thing in the world I want to see is a 9-year-old kid in a house with mom waking up in bed with boyfriend du jour. I mean, that's just not good for children.
Well, we have plenty to talk about with this issue, but I do want to give the number out. The number to call to ask your question is 646-2212. That is 646-2212. Right now, we are talking about being a single parent and dating. I'd like to ask you all if you could help me answer this question. So, how do single parents really talk to their kids about dating? How is it different with different age groups for children?
From the other end, if you're a single person without children and you are dating, my expert, he had children, it is hard even for that other person. You have the breakup because you come to care for these children, yet they're not yours. You know, there's no rights there. So I think it's something, even if you're not the one with children, that you have to consider.
Right. Well, I guess you would also have to consider that somebody else is going to have a say in your life should you proceed with a relationship with this person.
Correct.
Never be a parent to your dating mm-hmm. partner's kids, ever. Never, ever, ever be a parent to them.
I call it the fun aunt.
The fun aunt. There you go.
The fun aunt.
There you go. That's
nice. I mean,
nice.
I'm okay with sure. that. Yeah, that's, but
okay.
it's still.
Sure, that's a nice concept.
So, yeah. So when is the appropriate time to introduce the person you're dating to your kids?
Well, so I think it really depends on how serious the relationship is. So, I mean, if you're just casually dating or you're just getting to know somebody, you're not going to introduce them to your child, because what if that child forms a relationship or bonds with them? So, I mean, you do need to make sure you wait till it's serious. And even the way that you talk about dating is going to depend on the age of the child. So, I mean, for very young children, it may just be, I'm going to go see my friend and I'll be back in a couple hours. Or, you know, you don't have to give very many details, but maybe as they get older, maybe into the teen or preteen ages, you might even start saying, I'm going out on a date. And so even just the way that you talk about it really depends on their developmental level.
Okay. Do you have any questions about being single and living a healthy and happy life, or how to proceed with relationships or being a single parent and dating? Well, we have a panel of experts in studio to take your calls and questions, but there is someone who is on the line right now who says they want to remain anonymous, but they want to talk about how to make connections with someone of the same sex. I think that's something that we haven't talked about, our, you know, is being single and, you know, in the LGBTQ community. We haven't talked about that, but we do have somebody on the line who wants to remain anonymous. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, thank you so much for taking my question and taking the time to speak with me.
Sure, no problem.
So, yeah, my question is, how do I attract someone of my own sex if people tend to automatically assume that I'm straight? And I don't really give much away. I don't walk around with the lovely colors of the rainbow, so people, you know, typically just assume, oh, she's straight. So I usually get, when I do talk to people, it's usually, you know, men that approach me.
Okay, so can you kind of clarify that a little bit? Like, how do you kind of get out there a little bit more without, can you get one more time with the question?
Sure, yes. So I'm trying to attract, you know, another woman. However, anytime I go out with like a group or anything like that, I don't get approached by other women. I usually get approached by men because I don't appear to. If there even is an appearance, but you know how some people are more open with their sexuality. I guess to reframe it is, I'm not very open with my sexuality.
Okay.
However, I do. I'm an open book if you get to know me, but I don't post it on social media.
Yeah. No, that's great. Thanks for your question, panel.
So one thing that I would recommend is trying to find maybe some groups that are already meeting. So maybe, you know, on campus there are some groups. It's not specifically for LGBTQ, but for their family, so PFLAG. So, I mean, there are some groups that you can start joining, so that way you can start building that network. So I think it's just figuring out, okay, which networks can I start being a part of, and then maybe that'll expand my social group. It is very challenging for people who identify in the LGBTQ community to find other people, especially if you're in a rural community, or maybe you're in a community where it's maybe not as accepted. And so online dating actually is very prevalent for LGBTQ people, because you have to navigate those other levels, right? How out are you in your community? How safe is your community? And so online does help, but again, finding maybe some groups where you may have that exposure.
In Santa Fe, you know, they do have activities and groups and events that really are about, you know, more, you know, sexual diversity. I don't know if that exists here, but I do have this one gay friend of mine that he says this is, you know, these are the groups and ways he meets people. And when they were saying how in New Mexico we have a lot of single people, it's kind of equal in terms of gender, I don't know if we even know how that compares to who in those groups are LGBTQT. I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know what our... but I do know up north, they definitely have a lot of groups that are just these established groups that meet, organize activities.
Okay.
And then authenticity. Just be yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if in a heterosexual situation, if a woman is not interested in a man, she can give off the vibe, or the man that is interested in the woman give off, mm-hmm. just be yourself and be authentic. And that's going to be the most attractive, in my opinion, to whatever your sexual preference
and,
is.
And you could approach that person if there's someone that you see. I mean, I don't know how comfortable you feel just, hey, walking up to that young lady and introducing yourself.
Okay. Very interesting. The number to call, we just have a little bit of time left. If you have a question about navigating the single life, how to find a happy and healthy single life, how to approach and find healthy relationships in your life, the number to call is 646-2212. You can also join our Facebook group by liking our page there and joining in the conversation. I do want to go to Robert Palacios one more time. He is on our Facebook page. And Robert, you said that somebody had a comment about how folks can also meet other singles. Robert, can you share that with us?
Yeah, they said through the city's Network Volunteer Center, particularly retirees, but people new to the area can go and volunteer there as well.
Okay, well, thanks for that information. Robert, once again, just a few minutes left to get your calls and questions in. That is 646-2212. That is the number to call. You can also join in the conversation, like I said, on our Facebook page. We also had a comment from Virginia who called in. We were talking about being a single parent and dating earlier. Virginia stated that the organization Parents Without Partners is an option for folks to check out as well if they want to find out some information about how to navigate being single and single parent and dating. They can go ahead and do that and also find lots of events and activities as well. I kind of would like to move on. You know, we talked about dating and being a single parent as dating earlier. How do you really communicate with your co-parent about dating? What are some of the things to approach that in a healthy way? Perhaps, do you have to let your co-parent know that that relationship or divorce may have already happened when you're moving forward and you meet somebody else? Is it right? When's the right time to really share that? Or should you share that you're dating somebody? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think divorce is divorce. And I think that you probably need to share it if your children are being the intermediary and they're getting grilled by your ex, you know. So where was your mom last night? How come I text her? She didn't answer me, and she's not always home, and that type of thing, Anthony. Then you might want to share. You know, I have another partner, or I'm dating.
Okay,
or something.
Well,
but less information. If you're going to divorce.
So what about this? You brought something that kind of made me curious about another question. What if you don't like the person your co-parent is dating? How do you approach that?
What in the Spanish, lo siento, right? Sorry, none of their business, right?
I mean, if you're co-parenting, anything that affects the children is something that
right.
you should talk
well, of
about.
Of course, right.
And having healthy boundaries, just like many relationships. You know, I have counseled children, and so you sometimes have parents that it's this really hostile sort of thing, and you're just like, this is, you know, these are probably not people who are going to have healthy communication.
Okay.
So there may be that they're just not going to, you know, have that discussion, but I think if you're co-parenting, you talk about the things that impact the child.
Exactly, precisely.
Like, we're introducing them, or, you know,
Okay.
My sister's divorced, and one time she's arguing with her ex-husband, and I was like, divorced, divorced. That means you can hang up. You don't have to argue anymore.
So is it reasonable to ask the person who your co-parent, to meet the person who your co-parent is dating? Is it reasonable to do that?
If you want. I think that's up to them.
If there's a reason for it, that's going to help the kids, but if not.
Okay. Well, we have a call that we want to take right now. We have someone who wants to remain anonymous. They have a question or a comment about growing older and being single. Hello. Thanks for calling in. Do you have a question?
Well, I just have a concern. You know, I'm pushing 60 years old, and I've been married a couple of times, and it didn't work out, and my family says that I am the root cause of it, you know, because my parents stayed married for a long time, and my siblings say that it's the common denominator.
Okay.
And I agree with them. I just picked poorly. However, pushing 60 and being without a relationship for many, many years, I just want to have somebody next to me, you know, and handle I'm passing.
Okay.
Passing, and it's a struggle that I've been thinking about for some time.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing this with us. Dr. Del Campo, just for somebody who is in that position, and, you know, what is a healthy approach to take moving forward?
Go slowly again, and it sounds like I'm reading between the lines, but maybe there's a little depression going on because of the loneliness, and that's very common. And if caller or anybody is reticent about getting involved in another relationship because they've made so many bad choices in the past, be careful, of course, but maybe you can take heart in the fact that whenever there's a split in a relationship, it's never 100% the fault of one of the partners. Ever, never, ever. It's always, it could be 95% your fault and 5% somebody else's, but it's never 100%. So keep on pitching.
Well, I mean, one of the other things that was brought up there was pressure from his family as well, kind of blaming him. What are your thoughts on that?
I would ignore them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a pretty nasty thing to say to a person. It's your fault. You're such a mean human being. That's your flesh and blood. Come on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and we wish you the best moving forward, and, you know, it's going to be all right. I do want to go ahead and take part in we have some drawings to give out, some prizes, rather, I should say. For our prize pack, this prize pack is dinner for two at the Launchpad Cafe in Cineport 10 in Las Cruces. And the winner for that is Ryan Steinmetz. Thank you very much, Ryan. We have another prize pack, the same prize pack to give away. And that is going to Roni Luna. And thank you so much for commenting and taking part in KRWG Singles Confidential. I want to thank our panelists right now for calling or for being here, first of all, and for really taking part in months of preparation in this data. We covered a wide variety of topics. This is something that we probably could just talk for an hour about one of the topics that we covered, but I want to thank you all for being here. Dr. Robert Del Campo and Dr. Kareem Martinez and Rosa Lopez, thank you so much for being in studio and helping folks here in our area live a single, happy, and healthy life. And so we want to thank you for joining in as well. Remember, you can always like our Facebook page and continue the conversation online there. And I think, you know, if you're single, like we said many, many times, it's all right. You're not alone, definitely, according to the statistics, rather. It's just about 2 o'clock. We are broadcasting from New Mexico State University. This is KRWG Las Cruces and KRXG Silver City.